Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Jan Vellinger. It's time now for this news bulletin. Two people were killed and three injured on Wednesday morning when a Prague streetcar derailed and collided with waiting pedestrians. Tram number 22 derailed as it made a right turn at Prague's busy Charles Square, its rear wagon hitting those on foot. A 59-year-old man and a 64-year-old woman did not survive, and two people are in hospital with serious injuries. The police are investigating the cause of the accident. The body of one more Czech victim of the Indian Ocean disaster has been identified in Thailand. This brings the number of confirmed Czech victims to four. Three more Czechs are missing in Thailand and one in Sri Lanka, but it is believed that none of them are alive. Turning to other news, the Czech cabinet has reached a decision on a strategy for increasing public awareness on the EU constitution prior to a possible referendum. The campaign will be headed by the Prime Minister's office, although the Ministry for Foreign Affairs had expressed an interest. It is estimated that the campaign, which would begin this year and last into 2006, will cost almost $10 million. A poll released by the STEM agency has shown that voter preferences for the ruling Social Democratic Party have continued to fall. The poll suggests the party would place third if elections were held today, garnering a little over 13% of the vote, behind the Communist Party second with 18%, and the opposition Civic Democrats first with around 35% of the vote. The Association for Healthcare Insurance Consumers has released figures showing the country's health services spent more than one quarter of their funds on patients' medication last year. According to the association, expenses for medication have risen sixfold since 1992, with consumption rising twofold. Last year, some 52 billion crowns, around 2.3 billion US, were spent on medication. An Irish investment and development company, Markland, has bought Kotva, the popular Prague department store built under communism in 1975. Markland is estimated to have paid more than $67 million for the store, located in central Prague. Company representatives told journalists on Wednesday that they were confident they could raise consumer interest to pre-1989 levels, when Kotva was Czechoslovakia's most popular shopping venue. And we finally look at the weather. Milder weather has arrived and is expected to continue over the next few days with daytime temperatures of around 15 degrees Celsius. Thursday should be partly cloudy. Friday we'll see a possibility of light rain. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up, the United Nations has declared human trafficking to be the third most lucrative global crime. We report from an international conference that was held in Prague aimed at addressing the problem. Also, we look at the changing face of family life here in the Czech Republic.
People are postponing childbearing. They usually have now just one child, not two children. And the reason can be, for example, that there is very high labor force participation of women and basically no part-time jobs.
And we'll also be talking telecommunications, plus much more in our business report. Please don't go away. An international conference in Prague this week focused on the increasing problem of human trafficking. An estimated 300,000 people are trafficked in the EU annually. Nicola Brabanek was at the conference.
One of the most targeted groups for trafficking are young women aged 18 to 24 from Eastern Europe. Harriet Harman, the Solicitor General for the UK, speaks about the situation of these women.
They're told, come for a good job in Milan or in Amsterdam or in Madrid. And then it turns out that it's not a job in a bar or in a hairdresser. Instead, they're forced to have sex with many, many different men, and the traffickers are paid. And sometimes they'll try and escape, but then they're captured and brought back. And sometimes they'll be sold from one gang to another. So we're really talking about what we regard as modern-day slavery.
So how much money can a person be bought for, and how much money can be made? Steve Harvey from the European Union's Serious Crime Department, Europol.
A woman purchased in Bulgaria for between 2,000 and 3,000 euros could be sold to a bar owner in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, where he would look to earn between 10,000 and 15,000 euros per month from that woman. Initial investment, 2,000 or 3,000 euros, 1 month's income, 10,000 to 15,000 euros. Within a week, you have recovered your investment.
In the trafficking business, the Czech Republic fits into all three of the trafficking categories, as a source country, a transition country, and a destination. According to Antonin Vavrda from the Czech Police Unit for Combating Crime, the majority of prostitutes in the Czech Republic are foreign nationals. One unofficial topic of discussion at the conference was the fact that the wife of the Czech Republic's prime minister is a business associate of the owner of the building housing Prague's biggest erotic club. Delegates argued that even if clubs like these may seem relatively harmless, many of the women working in them have at some time been trafficked from abroad. Harriet Harman pointed to the international nature of the crime as a major challenge.
In many cases, you have one country which is the country of origin of the victim, another country which is the country of origin of the offender. You have a number of countries of transit, and then you have the country of destination. So these cases are all international, and therefore we need to work together internationally to make sure that what is really modern-day slavery is tackled effectively and stopped, and that nowhere in Europe is safe for the traffickers to go.
The international nature of the crime, as well as corruption at all levels, makes the crime difficult to investigate. Additionally, Steve Harvey notes that it is also difficult to get the victims of traffickers to testify against them.
These women and kids suffer daily sexual abuse. They are raped, they are tortured, they witness things that you and I will never ever see in our lives. The trauma that these individuals suffer means that you cannot speed the process up from victim to witness.
Even if the victims are able to overcome the trauma of their experience, they may run major risks by testifying against the traffickers.
They will use whatever means to intimidate or threaten either the victim or the victim's family. The traffickers may know where the victim came from. They may have been part of the recruiting process. So the threats don't have to be directed at the victim, but it could be the parents, the children, the brother, the sister.
I asked Harriet Harman how she thought the problem should be tackled.
It's important that there's good exchange of information and investigations. I think it's very important that different member states help each other with mutual legal assistance for obtaining evidence. But I think it's also important that every single European state recognises that it is either a country of origin of the girls or the traffickers, or it's a country of transit, or it's a country of destination. And sometimes it might be more than one. It's no longer the case that anybody can say it's nothing to do with us. So although we have different legal systems, we have a common problem, and we can work together on it.
Harriet Harman, the UK Solicitor General, ending that report from Nicola Brabanek. Now, the great change in Czech society, which accompanied the fall of the communist regime, has also had a great impact on individual and family life. 15 years after the Velvet Revolution, the Czech family is facing several problems, such as a low birth rate and a high number of divorces. What are the solutions? What is the government's position? Martin Mikolay reports.
The life of Czech families has changed enormously within the last 15 years. People tend to get married much later, they have children at a later age, and they have fewer children. The Czech Republic has the second lowest natality rate in Europe after Ukraine. It confirms also Dana Hamplova from the Czech Sociological Institute.
Yes, it is true, but we should see that it started to decline in 80s, not in 90s, as it's sometimes believed. It's a really difficult question, and many demographers and sociologists have different point of views. One point is that people are postponing childbearing. They usually have now just one child, not two children. And the reason can be, for example, that there is very high labor force participation of women, basically no part-time jobs. So all women have to work full-time, which makes it difficult to combine the family and work.
Another problem in terms of family life is that many marriages fail.
We have a relatively high divorce rate. If we looked through Europe, the Czech Republic is very close to Scandinavian countries that have the highest divorce rate in the world. So at the moment, half of the marriages divorce.
Lenka Novotná has been happily married for 3 years. With two little children, she is not a typical example of the current Czech woman.
I think the greatest problem is that you meet up with a great change in your life, especially as a woman, because for mother with children, everything changes, and especially in our society when everyone wants to be free and independent, you have to come to a moment when you are dependent and slaved because your children need you, and they need you all the time.
Michaela Marksová-Tominová from the Labour and Social Affairs Ministry says that the government has a project how to improve the situation of Czech families.
The plan towards family policy will have many different issues. One issue is to support families somehow financially, to maybe increase the parental benefit. The other thing is to motivate municipalities to offer some good conditions for young families with children. The other thing is that the state can sub family-friendly policy in companies plus equal opportunities policy.
And the family-friendly policy should not be only supported through these administrative measures. In the long term, the government hopes it will manage to help create a better atmosphere in the society so that the family life becomes more attractive than it has been till now.
Martin Mikulaj failing to stop the baby crying in that report. Now, the music scene in Prague is extremely diverse and has a lot to offer. Fahima Kyle discovered shamanic music for us and talked to Prague's Shamanic Orchestra, who just launched a new CD this week, about their music and the alternative scene in the Czech Republic.
Shamanism is a range of traditional beliefs and practices involving the ability to diagnose or cure, especially through rhythmic drumming or dancing. The band Shamanic Orchestra uses this philosophy as inspiration. For Lubimir Holca, band member and music therapist at the Palatsky University in Olomouc, this kind of music is a language to express oneself.
The origins of the music that we are playing are not from a particular part of the world, but the music arises from our roots, our inside. It is intuitive music, free improvisation that develops here and now.
The band works with natural sounds and specially made instruments, explained band member Vladislav Sosna.
Basically, it's all kinds of different instruments from all over the world. Some are originals, for example, from Africa, like the djembe that Lubos plays. But most of the instruments are developed in the Czech Republic. A friend of us produces them himself. Initially, I had the idea that the instruments should have a special sound, not like generally known instruments. That's why we play the African drums, or more specifically, the djembe or darbuka. These are instruments which are typical for certain regions of the world.
I asked Lubimir how is music related to the Czech Republic.
Why Czech? I think it is a worldwide culture, and when we play our music, we co-join with the universal energies around us. And our music is not supposed to be a confrontation, but rather the opposite. It's supposed to connect everything, to connect the world.
But what do the audience think?
It's a way of living. It's not only music. It's not only you play something and then you go home, or not only music about this shamanism and things like that. And I can say it should be more of this music in Prague.
Tahle ta hudba je výborná, protože...
This music is fantastic because, how can I say, it has a certain natural potential which mankind has been creating since time immemorial, and it inks shamanic rhythms.
When I was listening to this music, I just found out that that I really missed the music in all my life.
Hey!
That report about shamanic music was compiled by Fahima Kyle. And moving on here on Radio Prague, time for another business report presented as usual by Brian Kennedy.
Hello and welcome to Business Report. The single largest transaction in the Czech Republic involving a private company was agreed this week when the British mobile giant Vodafone announced it would buy Oscar Mobile, the third largest operator on the Czech market. Among other aspects of the deal, we'll be looking at its possible effect on the privatization of the fixed-line operator Český Telecom, which controls Eurotel, the largest mobile operator on the Czech market. That story is coming up shortly, but first, here's Kate Barrett with a quick look at the week's top business news.
Thanks, Brian. The cabinet has rejected a proposal by the opposition Civic Democrats that would have eliminated certain investment incentives while instituting a 15% corporate tax rate. The Minister of Industry and Trade, Milan Urban, has argued that it's a naive economic proposal given the need for fiscal restraint. The Civic Democrats, however, appear keen on submitting the bill to Parliament. Mittal Steel, which this week withdrew its 350 million crown lawsuit against the state with regard to pig iron prices, will not be allowed to submit a bid for the privatization of Witkowice Steel. The state still has a 1 billion crown claim against a subsidiary of Mittal, and a condition of the tender is that bidders must have no unresolved disputes with the Czech state. Mittal Steel has said that it will complain to the European Commission, launch arbitration proceedings, and petition the Czech courts to block the privatization. The company also threatened to renew its claim against the Witkowice Steel Osinek for deliveries of pig iron, a claim which Mittal had withdrawn in an effort to qualify for the tender. The Irish investment and development company Markland has bought Kotva, the popular Prague department store built under communism in 1975, for some $67 million. Markland representatives said that they will work to raise consumer interest to pre-1989 levels, when Kotva was Czechoslovakia's most visited shopping center. The Minister of Information Technology, Vladimir Mlinar, may face charges of misuse of confidential information and property in connection with his establishing a private company that handled some aspects of government work. The State Attorney's Office in Prague has reportedly asked the police to bring charges against Mlinar by April 5th for having transferred state funds to the private company Testcom Service, which he founded along with a former director of the Czech Public Television Network. The company in question administers the internet server of the civil service. Its founding was approved by the commercial courts, which Minister Mlinar, declining to comment in detail until official charges are made, said showed that he had acted in good faith. He said he expected that the misunderstanding would soon be resolved.
Thanks, Kate. And now to our main story. Vodafone boss Aaron Sarin has made good on his Eastern European promise with a $4.4 billion buy that plugs a geographic gap for the British mobile phones giant. Vodafone, which has operations in Hungary and wants to buy out remaining shareholders in its Polish venture, is acquiring Oscar Mobile in the Czech Republic and the 79% of the Romanian player Mobifone that it does not already own. The move will add a further 5.7 million customers to Vodafone's empire. It will certainly shake up the Czech mobile market and could well up the bidding on Český Telecom, the fixed-line operator slated for privatization, which controls Eurotel, the largest mobile operator on the Czech market. The purchase of Oscar Mobile is reported to be the single largest transaction in the Czech Republic involving a private company. So what will all this mean for the domestic market? Patria Finance Telecoms analyst Tomáš Gatiek.
Well, of course, the entry of Mobifone into the Czech market brings a new competition here because Vodafone is a strong operator with experience from global markets. So we believe that the company would want to increase the current market share that Oscar has, which is about 17%, and that might be done via more favorable pricing to customers, but also by introduction of new services such as data and value added, where Vodafone is quite strong.
Telesystem International Wireless of Canada, or TIW, is selling its remaining assets to British wireless powerhouse Vodafone Group PLC, the world's largest wireless operator. TIW's Oscar Mobile is the third largest on the Czech market, with an estimated 17% market share. Canada's TIW unveiled the agreement to sell off its wireless services in the Czech Republic and Romania on Tuesday, less than a week after first disclosing the talks with Vodafone. The following day, the British company announced it would be expanding global roaming services and data communications to some 51 countries and regions as of March 30th.
Also, the customers might benefit from perhaps better roaming charges because of the global presence of Vodafone and perhaps even better prices for the handsets, as Vodafone may use its strong purchasing power.
In addition to the $3.5 billion in cash Vodafone is paying for Oscar Mobile, it is also taking over $900 million of debt to buy the Czech and Romanian businesses of Canada's TIW. In the wake of the deal, most telecoms analysts said they were comfortable with the price being paid and that the purchases made strategic sense because they would fill a hole in Vodafone's global mobile network. The Czech Republic and Romania rank in the top five mobile markets in Central and Eastern Europe. Mobile phone penetration in the Czech Republic stands at 105%, higher than in Britain. However, Romania's Mobifone offers greater growth potential, as less than half of Romanians own a mobile, and the company, which trades under the name, has a market share of 48%.
The person at extension 1818 is not available to take your call.
Repeated calls to Oscar Mobile for comment were unsuccessful, but Vodafone is expected to install its own management in Prague and to drop the Oscar Mobile name. Vodafone's arrival could mean greater competition, as Patria finance analyst Tomasz Gaciak notes, in terms of new services and reduced tariffs, especially if Český Telecom's buyer isn't a strong operator, such as France Telecom or Orange.
As far as implications to the privatization of Český Telecom are concerned, I would see them as rather limited at the moment. Direct impact would be rather limited because speculations that Oscar is for sale has been in the market for some time, so the bidders for Český Telecom must have taken it into account while making their bids. But on the other hand, a strong competitor coming into the market is going to affect the pressures and operating margins of Eurotel, so therefore you can assume that you should revise your valuations of the company. On the other hand, the price paid for Oscar was quite high, so implying the multiples to Český Telecom, you might be looking for some higher price. But and also, on the other hand, it may stimulate the bidders to be more aggressive, especially within France Telecom and in relation to Orange, because Eurotel remains the last opportunity for the company to enter the market because they're present in Poland and Slovakia. So for Orange, it would be the last chance. And if they want to be like competitive with Vodafone on the global scale.
Business Report there with Brian Kennedy. This week sees the 130th anniversary of a very important moment in Czech music, the 1875 Prague premiere of Vyšehrad by that giant of the Czech national revival, Bedřich Smetana. It was the first part of Má vlast, or My Country, a cycle of six symphonic poems which also featured the much-loved Vltava. Vyšehrad, a crag of rock overlooking the river Vltava, is central to Czech mythology and is said to be the place where Princess Libuše prophesied Prague in the 9th century. Beside the Church of Saints Peter and Paul at Vyšehrad, you'll find the Slavín, or Pantheon, where many great Czechs are buried, among them Bedřich Smetana. Thank you. Perhaps check it out next time you're in Prague. Anyway, we're just about out of time here on Radio Prague for today. A quick reminder of our contact information if you'd like to get in touch with us. The address is Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, and the email english@radio.cz, english@radio.cz. Don't forget the website as well, lots of useful information there, www.radio.cz, and then all the different languages that we offer will come up. That's it from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, bye-bye.